right. Well, thank you, Chris. We are going to continue with our message. So let me share a story with you today to start. I mentioned Greg Finke before. He's a pastor, neighborhood missionary. And a lot of the ideas that we're talking about in this message series come from him. And he shares a story about how he one day learned to see his own city through fresh eyes. So Greg lives just outside of Houston, Texas, with his wife, Sharon. And one day, he and his wife, they decided that they needed to talk about buying a new car. And Finke says, so here's what I was thinking of. I was thinking of something like a nice, you know, a big pickup truck or an SUV, you know, something very Texan, because they had moved to Texas not too long before. Susan was thinking of something a little different. Susan's idea was more of a Subaru. He said, a Subaru? What? I tried to set her straight. I told her Texans don't drive Subarus. Texans drive F-150s and Tahoes and vehicles like that. People in Vermont drive Subarus. People in Seattle drive Subarus, but not Texans. And I concluded my argument with, I never see people driving Subarus around here. Well, we talked it over, but you already know how this decision-making process ended up. We got the Subaru, a Forester. And then the strangest thing happened. Evidently, on the very same day that we went out and got that Subaru Forester, he says, thousands of other Houstonians suddenly did the same. I mean, one day no one is driving Subarus around this city, and the next day there are thousands driving around. Subarus suddenly seem to be everywhere. What could account for this sudden influx of so many Subarus in Houston? Well, of course, we know thousands of people didn't suddenly go and buy Subaru Foresters that day, right? That did not happen. In fact, those cars had been there all along. And Greg Finke shares his story to say he never really saw them. He never really saw the Subaru Foresters that he was already looking at, right? And I don't know about you, but I can say the same sort of thing happens to me, or has happened to me. I can say, too, with talking about cars, when my family bought a minivan to fit in all the kids, all of a sudden I started noticing all the minivans on the road around here. When I became a pastor, I suddenly started noticing other clergy, people like that, or people wearing those, you know, clergy collars and things like that. I noticed them a whole lot more in coffee shops or on the road. I noticed churches a lot more. I started looking around. When I became a dad, I suddenly noticed other families when they were out and about, because we were doing that too. And maybe for you this has happened, maybe when you go to a certain, maybe a school, a middle school, high school, or a college, all of a sudden you start noticing when someone is wearing the school t-shirt or the school hat. When you took up a sport or a hobby, you know, maybe cars or horses or drawing or writing or running or playing a sport or whatever it may be, all of a sudden you pick that up and you start noticing when others are doing it. Or when you start a particular job, recently or in the past, all of a sudden you started noticing the buildings, the vehicles, or the workers who might be either your coworkers or your competitors. You start to see these people around. And in all of these circumstances, you know, what's happening is that it's not as if these things just popped into existence from thin air. You really start to see the things that were already right in front of you, right? And we're talking about this today because we are talking about learning to see God at work in our communities so that we can join him in his work. This message series, Being Neighbors, we're talking about how we can be neighborhood missionaries, how we can share the good news of Jesus Christ in the places where we already live and work and play. So two Sundays ago, we talked about how, well, you know what, America's it's been changing, and that's not new. And we saw that Americans get connected with religion and spirituality in different ways than they used to. Jesus is not worried about that change, though. Jesus is way ahead of us, and Jesus is already at work in our neighborhoods and our communities, our places of work, to prepare people for grace, to prepare people to know him. And Jesus is calling us to join him on his mission. And Jesus does that hard work of creating faith, right? We don't have to do that work. He invites us to do the simple things that anyone can do. Well, last week, we talked about how the river has moved. Memorable illustration. Why do we need to be neighborhood missionaries when we have so many good bridges into the church already? When we have good Christian education and worship and preaching and church fellowship and things like that? Well, the bridges are fine, but the river has moved. right? In America today, there are far fewer people just out looking for churches. And so we can't just hope people will wander in here. We have to go to them. And this doesn't really look like, you know, knocking on doors and asking people, where would you go if you died tonight? I know that used to be the thing. But today, this looks a little more like, well, just hanging out, like we said. That's Jesus' secret weapon ever since the beginning. Enjoying the people where God has placed us. Caring about the people around us. Caring about their lives. And just simply being present as the people of God. Being ready to share some good news. And so today we're starting to answer this question. What does a neighborhood missionary look like? What do we actually do? If we're going to spend some time hanging out with the people whom God has placed around us, then how do we start to seek and then recognize and to respond to the work that Jesus is already doing in their lives, in the lives of our neighbors, our friends, our family, and our coworkers? Today, how can we really start to see the kingdom of God that's already right in front of us? We just haven't noticed it so far. And we know, we can say if we start seeking, then we will find the redemptive presence of God at work in the people around us. As Jesus says to his disciples in John chapter 4, he says, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. He's saying that God has already prepared the people around us to know him. So how do we learn to see the kingdom of God? That's our question for today. Let's go to our scripture reading for today. And we read from the prophet Isaiah chapter 9, and even though we're not quite in the seasons of Advent yet, that season starts next weekend on the 2nd. That's the season when we're looking forward to the coming of God's chosen one. This is a great reading to get us ready for Advent because it's all about the redemptive presence of God coming into the world. This is all about Jesus. And what we really see here in Isaiah chapter 9 is it's this promise of what things will start to look like when the kingdom of God is at work. What things will start to look like where Jesus' redemptive presence is felt and welcomed in our community. So what does the kingdom of God look like? Well, we can read in verse 2, it looks like the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And so the kingdom of God comes to those in darkness. And this word for darkness, it means a lot of things. It also means distress. It means fear. It means ignorance and confusion. It means evil and sin. And so the kingdom of God comes to people living in darkness. The kingdom of God comes to people living in distress and fear, and they experience the dawn of hope. The kingdom of God comes to people living in ignorance and confusion, and they experience the light of truth. The kingdom of God comes to people living with evil and sin, and they experience forgiveness and newness of life through the Savior Jesus Christ. And it doesn't stop there. In verse 3, Isaiah says these people who experience the enlightenment of the kingdom of God experience joy and rejoicing as they know the goodness of the Lord. In verse 4, we read, we'll keep going. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. And Isaiah here, he's referring back to an event in Israel's history that we find in Judges chapter 7, where the judge Gideon, you may remember this story, he took just 300 men and invaded defeated an invading army that was 135,000 strong. An amazing story. And he defeated the army of the oppressors. And so Isaiah is telling us that the kingdom of God comes to people living in oppression. The kingdom of God comes to people who are burdened by the actions of strong and heartless people. The kingdom of God comes to people who see no way out of their distress. And when the kingdom of God comes, those people experience freedom and release. But the kingdom of God is not all about warfare and bloodshed. The kingdom of God comes to people living in conflict. The kingdom of God comes to people living in the midst of warfare. And then what happens? Verse 5, we read, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. And why? Because they won't be needed anymore. The kingdom of God comes to people living in bloody conflict and they experience peace. And this kingdom comes through the Savior, through God's chosen one, through Jesus Christ. And this great passage that we hear at Christmas time all the time, right? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And so there you go. I waited until after Thanksgiving to preach a Christmas sermon, right? Just kidding. So here's the point. Here's the point. We know that the kingdom of God is already present and working in our neighborhood because Jesus is here. He says he is. He is working to redeem and restore human lives to God. So how do we recognize those places where the kingdom of God is at work? That's our question. The answer is that we look for people in need. We look for people who are hurting physically or spiritually or emotionally or relationally. Wherever hope and redemption are needed, there the kingdom of God is near because Jesus has come to heal the sick. He's come to bind up the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind and free the captive. And these promises that we hear in Isaiah chapter 9, they're not given to people who have it all together, right? The promises of Isaiah chapter 9 are addressed to the people who are living in darkness, to regular people like you and me, whose lives are full of hurt. And God promises that you and I will receive comfort and protection and truth and peace and forgiveness and blessing. And we have all these things through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so if we want to join Jesus on his mission, we have to know where Jesus is working first, right? Well, today we're learning that Jesus is working on those people who hurt because those are the people who need him the most. And since Jesus is already working in the lives of people who hurt, then our job is not to fix those people or fix their lives, because that's Jesus' job, and he's given them a promise that he will. Our job in joining Jesus on his mission is to make the redemptive presence of God tangible, to be physical with people who are hurting. Or to say it another way, our job is to be good neighbors and to act like the people of God while we're at it. And we know that Jesus is working redemption in the lives of our neighbors. And he is. I think, you know, one of our challenges as people living as neighborhood missionaries in suburban America, and you know this if you live out here in Southwest Fort Wayne and probably all over the city too often we're tempted to think that people around here don't need much redeeming. Because on the whole, our lives look pretty good, right? I mean, we have, on the whole, usually good homes. We try to keep our lives looking good. We have lots of stuff. But you and I know that the truth is that you don't know any perfect people. Every one of our neighbors needs some healing and redemption. And if those neighbors or coworkers or family members or friends know Jesus, then great, they have his promises and they're holding on to those. They're in the kingdom already. And if those people don't know Jesus, then Jesus is still there working in their lives, but they need you to make Jesus' presence real and tangible and physical to them. And so today I want you to ask yourself a question, and you got to answer this because I can't answer this question for you. And here's the question: what is Jesus up to in my neighborhood? What is Jesus up to in my neighborhood? Where is a little grace needed among my neighbors or my coworkers or my friends or my family? Where might some grace bring hope to people who are living in fear? Where might some grace bring forgiveness to people living in sin? Where might some grace bring reconciliation to people who are separated, or bring comfort to people in pain, or bring peace to people in conflict? And when you can answer the question, where might grace make a difference in my neighborhood, well, then you know that's where Jesus is at work already, because that's where Jesus is needed, and that's where we can join him. Well, next week, we're going to talk about five mission practices, five simple things we can do as the people of God. If this week is about knowing where we can make a difference, right, next week is about knowing how we can make a difference in our neighborhood. Be a neighborhood missionary. And so we'll have five simple things to help us be good neighbors and act like the people of God while we're at it next week. But let me close with one final thought today. As we're talking about joining Jesus on his mission, as we're talking about seeking the kingdom of God to see where Jesus is already working in our neighborhoods, I can assure you that one thing is true. When you get serious about looking for the kingdom of God at work wherever you go, one thing is true, and that is that sometimes you will miss it. You'll miss it. And you'll think back an hour later or a day later and think, that person really needed a little grace in their life. And I was there and I didn't give it to them. I'll be honest with you, this actually happened to me this week. We spent some time with a friend this week who is going through relationship struggles right now. And of course, we don't need all the details. And it wasn't until after this friend left us that I realized, oh, this is exactly what I'm writing a sermon about right now. This person is hurting emotionally. They could use some grace. They could use the peace that Jesus gives. And I missed. Yeah, of course, we were with them, but I missed the opportunity to pray with them, to share some good news with them. Well, neighborhood missionaries aren't perfect people. We've got to understand that. And it's really so easy for us to get discouraged when we fail to see the kingdom of God at work right in front of our eyes because we missed an opportunity, but God does not send perfect people out to be missionaries. You know, this is the cool thing about God. It's that he already has this figured out, and he doesn't need us to be perfect people to be perfect missionaries. So that when we miss seeing the kingdom of God, do you know what happens when we miss it? Well, it's kind of like if you have a GPS system in your car. I know many of us do. And if you don't have that, I'm sure you probably have a cell phone or something like that. Almost all of us have a cell phone with a GPS system. So what happens when you're driving and you miss a turn? Does your little GPS, does it scream at you and throw up its little virtual hands and say, "You're hopeless, we'll never get there"? No. Of course not. It doesn't. It doesn't miss a beat. Your little GPS, it says, it recalculates. It says, okay, take the next turn instead. And if you miss that one, take the next one after that. And you might take a little longer than if you had followed the route perfectly. But you get there nonetheless because that little machine, it knows the destination. And it knows your city. And it doesn't need you to drive perfectly to get you where you need to go. Being a neighborhood missionary is like that. And in fact, what you start to see actually, once you start looking for the kingdom of God, wherever it may be at work, is you'll probably start noticing more missed turns in your week than turns you make perfectly. And that's okay. Because Jesus is very good at what he does, right? He doesn't need us to make every turn perfectly. Jesus knows your neighborhood. Jesus knows his destination. And even when his neighborhood missionaries miss a turn, Jesus will get us where we need to be. There's no doubt of that. And so the kingdom of God, that's the redeeming and the restoring presence of God in the world, that comes to the world, it comes from Jesus, and it comes through us. And so this week, let's look for the people and the places where Jesus is already working. Let's look for those places where a little bit of grace might make a lot of difference, and Jesus can use us there. Jesus can use imperfect missionaries to do his perfect will. And in fact, that's all he ever does. Amen. Let's stand.